Okay, good morning. We're going to continue the halachos of Muksa. We'll see how much we could cover today. We'll see if we could finish today. I'm not sure about that. We'll find out. 2 weeks ago, we started Muksa. We did the reasons for Muksa. We did the halacha of moving Muksa and just touching it and using Muksa. We discussed the halachos of Totum and Atzad, how you're allowed, different ways how you're allowed to move Muksa, Totum and Atzad, Totum Bagufo, carrying a child, holding a child's hands, and moving a kli that was Shemalach Laheter. Last week we did Muksa Machmas Gufo, things that have no inherent purpose, like a rock, a branch, leaves, and we spoke about designating it from before Shabbos. We spoke about money, we spoke about buttons, we spoke about animals, then we spoke about inedible foods, foods that are raw, that are frozen. We spoke about food remnants like shells and pits and peels and things like that. We spoke about broken kelim, and we spoke about Muksa Machmas Chasar and Kis, that items that are designated for something because it's expensive, or you set it aside, and we ended up speaking about paper all the way at the end. What I want to do today to start off is something that I've been pushing off until now that I keep on saying we'll get to, is a kli shemalachto le'iser. I mean, something that's a kli, it's a utensil, and I was discussing with some of you, the Chazal themselves and the Pesachim themselves are not clear how to categorize exactly what is a kli, what is a utensil, but something that does fit into the category of a kli, that it's malachto le'iser, that it's generally used, its primary function, primary use on Shabbos is a forbidden use. Meaning we spoke about scissors and hammers. A scissors, the primary use of a scissors is to cut. That's not allowed on Shabbos. The primary use of a hammer or a screwdriver is for bones, to build things. So that's also considered a kli shemalachto le'iser. Now, kli shemalachto le'iser, we're going to find there's some leniencies over a muksa machmas gufo, because after all, it is a kli, so it's not as set aside. So let's discuss what's the halachas with a kli shemalachto le'iser. Now, right away, we need to say from the beginning, and I spoke to Rabbi Sachs about this as well, there's two types of a kli shemalachto le'iser. There are some klis that do have a permitted use on Shabbos, meaning its primary use is a forbidden use, but there is something that you could use it for that's a permitted use. For example, that's why we were talking about scissors. Scissors, generally speaking, you're not allowed to cut on Shabbos, but there are certain situations where you are allowed to cut. Right, when we discussed the halachos of Korea, as far as opening bags, of course not cutting any letters, but if you open something in a destructive manner, then you're allowed to use it, to open it, if it's for a Shabbos use. So there are certain situations where scissors would be permitted. There are certain situations where a hammer would be permitted. If you don't have a nutcracker, you're allowed to crack open a nut with a hammer. So that is one type, let's call that category one, or Simcha Ben Kohen, and his Sefer HaMuksa calls it category one, certain types of klis that its primary use is for a forbidden use, but there is a permitted use. Then there's other types of utensils that the only function it has on Shabbos is a forbidden use. It's only what it's able to be used for. Besides a door stopper, which we said doesn't count because you have to designate it before Shabbos. But generally speaking, if you didn't designate it before Shabbos, there are certain utensils that are only usable for a non-permitted use. I have a whole list of like 20 different things: a flashlight, a camera, an iron, a battery, a toaster, chalk, an eraser, a pencil sharpener. There are many, many different types of klis that there's no permitted use for it on Shabbos. It's only a forbidden use. So the halacha is, there are certain leniencies, which we're going to discuss now, that you're allowed to use by a kli shemalachto le'iser, but there are those that say that if it's a kli that is only used for a forbidden use, then these heterim cannot be used. Meaning we're about to say when you're allowed to use a kli shemalachto le'iser, but there are our opinions that if it's a kli that is only has a forbidden use, then you're not allowed to use these heterim that we're about to talk about. So each time, remember when we were talking about the camera on the chairs, that's why cameras are get very complicated, because a camera is a kli, it's a kli shemalachto le'iser, but it is the type of kli that it only has a forbidden use. What are you going to use a camera for on Shabbos unless to take pictures? It doesn't have a permitted use. Again, a door stopper or a paperweight doesn't count because you have to designate it before Shabbos.
What about the cell phone camera that's
a toy now?
Okay, right. We're going to talk about toys. Right. We'll talk about toys. Right. We touched upon it as far as designating before Shabbos. If it's a broken camera that you designated as a toy before, then that's permitted. Especially once you used it a bunch of times as a toy, so then it's already designated before Shabbos. Then it's allowed. So there, So there are different types of kli shemlach lizards, and each one we're going to get to what they would be allowed to be used for. There are, like we said, the category two, the ones that are only used for forbidden uses. It's a machlokas of Shlomo Zalman and of Moshe. It's based on the Rishonim. If we should be machmer by those, Rabbi Sack said it's good to be machmer like it because he says the Briska Rav is also machmer. So we're going to go to all the examples. We'll get to step by step, and we'll plug each one in. Also, something that assists in a forbidden act is also considered a kli shemalach tol iser. The primary example of this would be a telephone book. A telephone book usually assists to make a phone call on Shabbos. Making a phone call is not allowed on Shabbos. So a telephone book is a kli. We hold it's a kli, it's a book. It's a kli shemalach tol iser. Sorry? Okay, good. So we're going to get to that term when you're allowed to use a kli shemalach tol iser. But strictly speaking, a telephone book is a kli shemalach tol iser. We have to discuss when are you allowed to use a kli shemalach tol iser. But a kli shemalach, but a telephone book just to move it for no reason, it is considered muksa because it assists in a forbidden act. An umbrella can also be used as a cane. An umbrella is muksa. You're not allowed to open an umbrella on Shabbos for different reasons, but it could be used as a cane. So it's a kli shemalach tol iser that does have a permitted use. A roll of toilet paper is a big discussion. Is it a kli or not? Is a roll of toilet paper, of course, Rabbi Yashiv says a roll of toilet paper is muksa on Shabbos because it doesn't have, he holds, you can't use a toilet paper on Shabbos. Nissen Krelitz says you could. In certain situations, a person's desperate and they're ready in the bathroom. There are times where they're able to use toilet paper on Shabbos. So machlokes if toilet paper is muksa or not. Preferably, definitely, it's better not to use it if you don't have to. So let's discuss, like we were just talking a moment ago, when is it permitted to use or move a kli shemalachto le'iser? So usage number one, you're allowed to use a kli shemalachto le'iser if it's letzarech gufo, if it's for the purpose of the item. Meaning, let's say it's a type of kli that does have a permitted use. So if you want to go ahead and use it for that, then you are permitted to do so. Like we said before, if you don't have a nutcracker, I am allowed to take a hammer and use it as a nutcracker. Like we spoke about a few weeks ago, and a lot of you jumped out of your seats, you're allowed to use a scissors on Shabbos if it is for a permitted use. If you, I did it a few weeks ago, I wanted to open up a potato chip bag, and it was very hard to open, so it wasn't considered like chesolos, like we spoke about, that and you could just open it up. It was very hard to open. So the only way to open it up was, so they had like on top, like a little bit of tear, it says like tear here, so like a little bit of a notch. Now the words tear here were right underneath that notch. So there was no way I was going to open it up, it was a psik ratio, there was no way I could open it up without tearing the letters. But I wanted to open it up to get the potato chips out. So I had to open it up in a destructive manner, without tearing any letters. So I took a scissors and I cut down the sides of the potato chip bag, maneuvering this way I didn't cut any letters, and that was the only way I was able to open it. Sorry?
I didn't know you were allowed to do that with scissors.
100%. A scissors is a kli shemalach tol iser, but it's mutal letzarech gufo. It has a permitted use. I opened it up in a permitted fashion, in a destructive manner for a Shabbos use, which is food or medicine. That's permitted to use a kli shemalach tol iser letzarech gufo. However, hold on 1 second, I'll get to your questions in a second. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you have something that is not muksa, meaning a scissors is muksa. I'm not saying a scissors is not muksa. A scissors is muksa. It's a kli shemalach tol iser because 99% of the time it's used for a forbidden use. But even though it's muksa, it's a kli, so it's allowed to be used l'tzarech gufo. The Mishnah Berurah says if you have something, if you have a knife and you're able to accomplish it with just a knife, it's better to use, you're supposed to use something that's not muksa instead of something that is muksa if you have a non-muksa item in front of you. If I have a hammer right over here and a nutcracker over here, I should not use the hammer, I should use the nutcracker. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if I don't have a nutcracker but my neighbor has a nutcracker, I am not obligated to go to my neighbor. Even if it's a beautiful day outside and my neighbor will be happy to lend it to me, Rav Moshe is medayik from the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. If I don't have a nutcracker in front of me, even though I know my neighbor has one, I'm allowed to use the hammer to open up the nutcracker. I can use an umbrella as a cane or to reach something from high up. I can use a sewing needle to remove a splinter. And like you said before, I'm allowed to use a telephone book to look up an address or to look up somebody's first name, right? Pretend as if I always know the person's first name and now I'm eating there, I need the first name, so I'm allowed to look it up. Even though a telephone book is muksa, it's a kli shemalach tol iser, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, but you're allowed to use a letzarech gufo. So since I need to look up an address or since I need to look up somebody's name, I'm allowed to use a telephone book for that.
Same thing with a recipe book? Like if
you forgot what goes in salad, you know, as you're making it, you could look it up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's if you assume in the first place that a recipe book is muksa. There are those that say the recipe book, anyways, is not muksa. But if you assume a recipe book is muksa, if you need to look it up for something that's permitted to make on Shabbos, a salad, you don't have to cook anything or grind or anything like that, yeah, it's permitted. You're allowed to look it up.
Some books used to be used as booster chairs.
Okay, so then that's the tzarech gufa. That would also be allowed. It's using the tzarech gufa. Yeah, that would be true.
And you don't have to designate, because someone had once told me that I had to designate certain scissors for shot, you know, and she'd be able to use them on Shabbos.
No, you don't have to. There are items, hold on 1 second. There are certain items that we've mentioned that anyways would be muksumach, mas chasar, and kiss. Meaning, scissors is not expensive, and an umbrella, and a hammer, these things are not expensive. But there are a number of items that they would be pretty expensive, and that would anyways be muksamach, maschusar, and kiss. This heter of using the tzorach gufo is only by a kli shemalach tal iser. But if it's also muksamach, maschusar, and kiss, like we spoke about last week, then you do not have this heter. Okay, if it's something that's very expensive,
a camera could be that also, right?
So a camera could be that also, but anyways, a camera would be a category 2 klisha malach talisar, meaning something that does not have a permitted use. So doesn't have a permitted use, l'tzarech gufo is really not nogea because it doesn't have a permitted use. We'll get to l'tzarech makomo in a moment. But a camera, anyways, you're 100% right. A camera, many times, anyways, if it's a working camera, is muksamachem's gufo, and you would not have is muksamachem's chasar and kiss, and you would not have that heter for sure of l'tzarech gufo, and even of l'tzarech makomo, as we'll get to in a moment. You had a question? Okay, like a chicken scissors. Yeah. So chicken scissors, you're allowed to cut chicken on Shabbos. If I want only half a piece of chicken, I'm allowed to cut that on Shabbos. Quite possibly that's not even muksa in the first place. It's not even a klish malach tal iser. If it's made to cut food, so then that's allowed. Not to cut food into tiny, tiny pieces like we discussed by Tochin, but to cut, you know, to cut chicken in half, that'll be okay. And it's not, quite possibly, it's not even muksa machmas chasar and kiss. I use my chicken scissors if I don't find the scissors because my kids left it around. So I use my chicken scissors to cut paper. So it wouldn't even be muksa machmas chasar and kiss. Let's say toys. Toys that make noise. Okay, so you have toys. So there are really two types of toys. There are toys that the main function is to make noise, is to play music, like a whistle, a rattle, a talking doll, a toy telephone, a wind-up music box. You don't have to write everything down. That's why I'm saying it fast. And then there's other types of toys that stam, they happen to give out, they come to emit a noise when you play with them, like a merry-go-round, it makes a clicking sound, or a spinning top. So there are two types of toys, one that the whole purpose is to make noise, and one just happens to, like a little toy merry-go-round, you know, like the kids play with. So then another type of toy that happens to give out a noise. So what's with that? Those are muksa, but it's a kli. I'm sorry? A rattle is muksa. It's something that's specifically to make noise. That's not allowed. You're not allowed to play music on Shabbos. So that's muksa. Are you allowed to use it? So that's what we're going to discuss right now. So a child that is above chinuch, so the first type of toy that is specifically made for noise, like a rattle or a whistle or something like that, they should be told not to play with that on Shabbos. Because it's something that is muksa, it's a kli, and it's a malach tal iser, it's there to make music, to make noise on Shabbos. So if a child that's above chinuch, and for sure an adult, should not be playing with that on Shabbos. The other types that happen to give out a noise, then they shouldn't. They could use it, but they shouldn't use it for the purpose of the noise, which most of the time they're not. They're just using it just to, you know, a spinning top that happens to give out a clicking sound, so that they could be allowed to play with, but not with a rattle or a whistle, that the whole point is to make noise. If it's below chinuch, then of course they could play with either one. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you're even allowed to pick up a toy, one of these toys. Let's say you want to pick up a rattle, and you want to give it to a baby because they're crying. So you're not allowed to play the music, you're not allowed to go ahead and shake it for them on purpose, but if you pick it up, so yes, it's muksa, but you're allowed to use it, letzarech gufo. So if you want to give it to the child, some places can say you could even give it to the child, some places can say you should just put it down in front of the child, you shouldn't actually hand the muksa item to the child to give them muksa directly. Either way, but at least you could pick up a rattle and put it in front, or a toy like that makes noise, and put it down in front of the child, because even though, yes, it will be muksa, but it's a kli, and it's allowed l'tzarech gufo. A spring,
I've always wondered about the game, like, Trouble, when you pop that center, and it makes...
Right, noise. So that's something that you're not doing it for the noise, so then that's permitted. Okay. No, you're not doing it for the noise, and that just happens to make noise. The point is not for the The point is just, you know, to spin the die, and that would be allowed. I would think that would be allowed even. Or pop and hop, or, you know, yeah, like that. No, you don't have to take it off for Shabbos. I mean, if it makes like a music.
No, not music. Just like it probably has like a little thing inside.
A bell.
Oh, a bell. So that would imagine, you know, that would be like the first type. If it's for a little baby, then for sure that's not a problem. Even if they hit it, they're obviously below chinuch. So,
like,
I would imagine that's still considered Lutzarach Gufa. You're not doing it for the purpose of the music. If you are not allowed to pick that up and specifically shake it for them and make that noise, because it's like making music, we'll call it music for now, like making music on Shabbos. But if it just happens to make a noise,
you're allowed
I imagine
to an arch, let's say, that like the baby like
I would imagine. Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, it'd be a clear. If you're using a Lutzarach Gufa, I'd imagine, you know, that would be included in using a Lutzarach Gufa. I imagine that would be okay. I don't see why not. A spring power toy. You know, a lot of times you have these cars that you pull back and then you leave go and it springs forward. So there's really no problem with muksa with that on Shabbos. But some place can say that should not be used, at least by an adult, on Shabbos, because like it creates a new kayach, a new wind, and a new friction. So even if it's not like sparks or anything like that, but there are places that say that it's like a tikkun mana because it's creating a kayach, the chazanish, Rabbi Yashiv, Amdis and Karelitz, plenty of places.
Do we have to tell that to your children?
The children, you don't have to. There's what to rely on. You don't have to. Definitely, you're allowed to let the children do that because of Shemazam and Orbach says it's allowed, and the Debrezina says it's allowed, and others. Anytime we have that, it's a big machlekes and paiskim, so adults should preferably not use it, but children will be allowed to do it. That's not a muksa issue, just once we're on the topic of toys, so I figured just bring that in. Tikkun mana, which means like to make something. It's like, it literally means to fix something, but when you create something on Shabbos, we never ended up discussing the halachos of Makom HaPatish, but when you create something on Shabbos, you're not supposed to create something on Shabbos. So the question is this considered like you created like a kayach, like a power, but now you sprang it back and now it's able to go forward? So that's a machlokes amongst the paiskim. I would tell adults to preferably not do that, but the children, definitely you're allowed to.
Mana
means a utensil, a kli. It's Aramaic.
Can you clean up these kinds of toys?
I'm sorry?
Can you clean up these kinds?
Oh, so now we're going to get to Lutzarach Mekomo. Now, so far, all we spoke about so far was Lutzarach Gufa, if you wanted to use it for the actual usage. Now let's discuss if you need the place where you want, where it is. A klisha malachta l'isser, we said there's category one where it has a permitted use, and then there's other types where it doesn't have a permitted use whatsoever. So by category number one, and like we said, preferably not by category number two, another heter, you're allowed to move them l'tzarach mekomo for the need of that place. If something is in a spot, that's why we're talking about a camera on a chair. So if, let's say, you assume that, let's say, the camera is not muksamach mas chasar and kiss, and let's say you don't go with that chumra and you assume a camera is allowed to be moved, so if you need that place on the chair, you would be allowed to move an item that's a klisha malach to l'isser. Let's say there's a telephone book on a chair, or a hammer on a chair, or a scissors on a chair, or any of these other types of klis, then you're allowed to move it if you need that space. So too, if it's blocking another object. If something in the way, like we were discussing last week as far as the medicine, right? If someone comes to your house for the medicine, so if it's in the way, if you assume that medicine is a klisha malachta l'isser, like a b'shem azam and orbach, so if it's in the way, you're allowed to move it to get to something behind it. Now, even though we discussed 1 week ago, I think, by the freezer, and 2 weeks ago, about something in the freezer, if you have frozen meat blocking something else. So we said you're not allowed to just move the frozen meat to get to the thing behind it. That's because the frozen meat is not a kli. It's muksamach mas gufo if it's frozen. So therefore, something that's muksamach mas gufo or muksamach mas chasar kis does not have this leniency of moving a l'tzarach mekomo. But if it's a kli, then you're allowed to move it l'tzarach mekomo. Now the question is, like she asked before,
You can move it with your hands.
Yeah, you don't have to move it with the back of your hands. If it's in the Torah Mekomo, if the telephone book is in your way and you need the counter space, you're allowed to move it.
Only if it's a
kli. If it's a kli, right. And we say a telephone book is a kli, but it's a kli shemalach l'isser, so it's muksa. But I'm allowed to move a kli shemalach l'isser, that's muksa, even if it's l'tzarach gufo or l'tzarach mekomo. Now the question is, how far does this extend for l'tzarach mekomo? So we gave one great example that if I have a scissors on the chair and I need to sit down on the chair, so I'm allowed to move it. If I have something on the countertop, I'm allowed to move it. But the question is, let's say I don't need that spot, but I don't want it over here. Meaning, not that I need this place where it is, just I don't want this over here. It's it's in the way, not in the way because I need that spot, but like she asked before, let's say my den and my playroom is a total mess, and my kids and having guests, and it's embarrassing, and I have tons of muksa toys on the floor. My kids play with it from before Shabbos, during Shabbos, whatever it is. There's muksa items on the floor, and they're all klees. So the question is, can I move it? Not because I need the spots, just because I don't want it over here. So over there, that's a big machlokas amongst the paiskim. Like we said, I think we said from Moshe Feinstein, the example was a pen. Say you have a pen on the table. So Moshe says, if you don't actually need that spot, which a pen on the table, I mean, you really don't need that spot, I would imagine. How big is your pen? So he says, the covet of Shabbos is to leave it there. The covet of Shabbos is to leave it there. Yeah, it's embarrassing and it's uncomfortable and, you know, there's a pen on the table, but if you really don't need the actual place, so Moshe Feinstein says, it's better not to move it. If you really, really need to, so that those places can then say that, you know, it's a mess and, you know, I want it to be clean. So perhaps it will be okay. Better if you could kick it with your foot. That would be the best to avoid actually picking up in such a situation. Let's say I have a fan that's blowing on me. Right, I prepared these notes for single girls, for my girls in the Beis Yaakov. So you go to camp, and you know, you have this fan hooked up to your bunk bed, and it's blowing right on you. So you want to move it away from you. Now, I don't need, it's not like, I just don't want it over here. It's not like I need that spot or anything. I just don't want the fan blowing on me. So a fan is a klisha malachal iser, because the only way to work it is to turn it on, to turn. So that we say that's also a klisha malachal iser. So there are plenty of places that say that that's also permitted. Because since I don't want it over here, so I want it away from me, we say that that's also considered l'tzorach makomo, and we say that that would be permitted to move. Alarm clock, there are plenty of paiskim that say, anyways, it's not muksa. Rabbi Yashua says an alarm clock is not muksa, and I'm missing krelitz. If alarm clock is beeping and it doesn't go off after 1 minute, and it's just going on, and I want to take a Shabbos afternoon nap, and I want this out of the way. So, first of all, anyways, it will be l'tzorach makomo, so it will be allowed, because according to this, you'll be allowed to move it away. Anyways, Rabbi Yashiv says that an alarm clock is not considered muksa, and you could move it. Don't turn it off, obviously, that's not allowed, but you're allowed to move it out of your bedroom and put it in the bathroom or something like that. I'm sorry?
Why is it less muksa than a toy? That
yeah, it's a good question, but there are places that say that an alarm clock will be muksa, but either way, that will be allowed.
What about
for
a cell phone that has an alarm?
A cell phone that has an alarm? A cell phone anyways will be muksa because of the cell phone aspect. It's being used as an alarm, but that's not its primary function. Its primary function is a phone, and therefore would be considered, a regular klisha malachal iser, and quite possibly even, so would that make it into category 1 klisha malachal iser? Because now it has a permitted use, it has an alarm clock use. I'm not sure. Probably not. Sorry? A cell phone? Okay, fine. So, because again, it could be that even if it's considered muksa, but it's allowed l'tzorach makomo. So even if a cell phone is, you say, a category 2, not everyone holds that you have to be machmer like that. So it could be you heard that if you say that all klisha malachta lissers are allowed, or some zaman orbach holds like that, so that's okay. Then yeah, you'd be allowed to move the cell phone if you
regular with your hand.
Yeah, yeah. One second. Once we say, let's move on a second, we'll get as many questions as you want at 10 o'clock. Once we say that you're allowed to pick up a klisha malachta l'iser, meaning let's say, whatever case, I need the place, and not that I'm going to use it, or let's say I'm already using it, or I picked it up l'tzorach makomo. So the halacha is that you're not obligated, this is a halacha that I'm sure some of you have heard of, you're not obligated to put it down immediately. Once you hold it, you're allowed, once you hold it in a permitted way at least, I use the l'tzorach gufo, I use the scissors to open up my potato chip bag. So now I'm holding the scissors. I'm finished using it. Oh my gosh, so I'd have to put it down immediately. So the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Magen Avraham, that you do not have to put it down immediately. You're allowed to take it at your leisure. You should go right away. I was going to say you walk around the whole afternoon holding the scissors, but you should go right away, but you don't have to put it down immediately. You could go and put it away in the drawer, in the closet, where it belongs. Especially like we discussed a couple weeks ago, if a child's going to get damaged by it, if someone could get hurt, like a scissors or a hammer, for sure you don't want in the reach of children, so for sure that would be allowed. But once you're holding it, you're allowed to put it away where it belongs. There's a discussion, let's say you picked it up shaloi kedin, you picked it up when you weren't allowed to, by mistake, or you didn't realize the halacha, or something like that. There's a machlokes, do you have to put it down immediately, or do we say also that once you're holding it, you're allowed to put it in its whatever spot it belongs? That's a machlokes, but for sure if you pick it up for permitted use and you're allowed to, then once you're holding it, you're allowed to put it wherever it belongs.
Is it better to ask the little kid to do it, or you put it
It's better in this case, it's better not to. But the Pais can say, because if you ask a little child to do it, then we'll get to that by Graf Shor A, then they'll think there's no such thing as Muksa. It's better, you know that there's a permitted use, so you're allowed to do it. The kids, they don't realize, oh, there's a heter, they just think, oh, okay, Muksa's not a big deal, I'm allowed to do things, I'm allowed to color on Shabbos. It's better not to use a kid. When there's a legitimate heter, use the heter. Don't ask the kids to do it. You would think the opposite. Turning off the light is totally different. That's doing a malacha for you. That's having children do a malacha for you. That's a different discussion. Perhaps we'll get that at a different time. But that's something that's very different. That's unfortunately used very, very abused. That heter, yeah, you take the child, I'm just holding him by the light and tell him to whatever. Those are separate halachas,
a sponge is
a klisha malachta.
A wet sponge
is muksa. A wet sponge is muksa either way.
But
a dry sponge is a kli shemalach to lisser. It's a kli that's used with isser because you use it with water and that's not allowed on Shabbos.
A wet sponge in the sink and you know you can't turn on the sink because then...
It's going to go on further.
So what do you do?
So you could try and move a begufo. If you could get it with your elbow somehow, for sure, you know, you could try to do that.
With your elbow, it's a kli shemalach to lisser.
Right.
You can move it with your hand.
Oh, it's a kli shemalach to lisser. Okay, but if I would imagine that's a category 2 kli shemalach to lisser. Because it doesn't have a permitted use on Shabbos. Again, there's two types of kli shemalach to lisser. One that does have a permitted use, and ones that don't have a permitted use at all.
If you leave it in your sink, you're going to be doing real, like,
right,
a malacha.
Okay.
So even though it's a category 2, wouldn't it be better to move it? Because some posts can say you could move it rather than leave it in your sink. And
if you can't do it, but that's what I'm telling you, preferably to do it till Tabagufa.
Pick it up.
Wait a second. It's possible. I know you could take, according to the Mishnah Brura, right? You could take a fork or a knife and scoop it out like that. But to move it straight up, the reason why I'm telling you not to just pick it up and straight it, even though it's a Letzarech Makomo, that's because since it is a Category 2 Klish Malach Lisser, preferably you shouldn't. Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says you could, but Rav Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't. A cell phone, she said it, not me. A cell phone preferably I would imagine that would be considered a category 2 kli shemalach to lisser. Now she made a good point that you could use it as an alarm clock, so perhaps that it is a category 1. Not sure. I don't think so. Maybe. I have to think about it more.
So that's no. Funny. Let's say you're going to have a guy come to your house on Shabbos to so that sponge has a use on Shabbos, really.
They're allowed to use a sponge.
I said it 2 weeks ago. I said when we spoke about the halachas, they're allowed to use hot water, they're allowed to use a sponge. We said, yeah. For you, that's not a permitted use. For you, it's not allowed. The fact that a guy could use it, and you know a guy is coming, I don't think that would make it namux. As far as you're concerned, it's moved away. A measuring cup, when we discussed the halachos of measuring on Shabbos, a measuring cup is a klisha malach l'isser because its standard use is for measuring. We discussed by the halachos of medida. Anyone who missed any classes, you can get my classes on TorahAnyTime.com. But I'm sorry, now they're all up. Now they are all up. The guy finally taught me how to do it, and I figured it out that they're all up there. No, you have to search. Right, type out my name totally. You have to don't press search in the middle. You have to type out my name totally, Rabbi Eliezer Krohn, and then my thing will come up. All the shema there. A measuring cup is muksa. However, you're allowed to use a measuring cup letzarech gufo lemakomo. That is why when we discussed the halachos of measuring a few weeks ago, we said you're allowed to use a measuring cup if you don't do it exactly. You're allowed to do it only approximate. But it's muksa. How am I using it if it's muksa? I'm allowed to use a muksa ayinim, letzarech gufo. So then that will be allowed.
Wait, did you say you're allowed to use a measuring cup on Shabbos?
As long as you don't measure exactly up to the spot, you just do it approximate, you're allowed to use it, and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos.
Really?
Yes. A vase of flowers is a klisha malach to laheter, because that's to be pretty, so that's not muksa whatsoever. Deodorant, nail polish, soap, toothpaste, makeup, those are all not kalim. So those are muksamachim as gufo. So you don't have the heter of moving it when you need the spot. Again, so again, exactly like I said before, the paiskim themselves, they trouble themselves to try and define what is a kli exactly. A toothbrush is definitely a kli. Toothpaste is not a kli. Paper, we discussed last week, it's not clear if paper is a kli or not. Anyways, it could be muksamachim as chasar and kis, because you designate it aside, even though it's not expensive, but you designate it aside. Like we said before, toilet paper is a machlokas, is that a kli or not? It's hard to define what exactly is a kli.
So makeup is for sure not a kli, obviously.
Makeup is not a kli. No, the makeup itself is not a kli.
Perhaps
a brush will be, maybe that brush that, you know, screw off the top, and maybe that will be a kli. But the makeup itself, it's definitely muksa, because you're not allowed to apply makeup on Shabbos. Did we discuss the Beit Soveya? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I think we did.
So it's as stringent as a rock. It's like a rock.
Yeah, that would be Muxer Machmas Gufo. Yeah, it'll be just like a rock. Okay, we're not going to have the time to discuss buses as a whole. So let's skip to Graf Shara'e. We're going to go out of order what I was planning to do. Another case where you're allowed to move muksa. Okay, that's finished with Klisha Malach Lisser, is Mutal Lissar Gufo and Mutal Lissar Makomo. A graph, Gimel Reish Fe, and the Fe, Fe Safis. A graph means like a graph is another word for a vessel, and Re'e means something disgusting. So Re'e is Reish Ayin Yud. So the halacha is that you're allowed to move something that is disgusting to you, you're allowed to move that on Shabbos, even if it's not a kli. Even if it's not a kli. So if let's say you have a dirty diaper and you change the dirty diaper, then that's disgusting to you. Or if you have a cockroach or a mouse, and Rabbi Yashiv says, even if it's alive, which makes a lot of sense, I didn't see anybody who disagrees with that, even if the mouse is alive in the mouse trap, if that's disgusting to you by any chance, so then that is that you're allowed to move that on Shabbos. There are poskim that say that if you're able to move it with your foot, then it's better to do that, but if you're not able to, let's say you have a dirty diaper on the floor, you want to get it into the garbage can, so then you can't do that with your foot or something like that, so you're allowed to pick it up with your hands. If you have a mouse trap and you're not afraid of picking it up with your hands, so then you're allowed to pick it up with your hands.
But if you're not in the trap, you're probably not
alone. I'm sorry?
But not in the trap, you're not alone.
If you have a live cockroach or a live mouse or something, or even if it's dead, and you're allowed to pick it up with your hands, if it's disgusting to you and you want to get rid of it. Trapping is a good point. That's a different issue as far as trapping. Yeah, so if it's already alive and it's running around, and it, you know, as far as that, then perhaps that will be not allowed.
Picking it up with your hands is not trapping it. You pick it up with your hands.
Okay, so that's as far as tzad. That's a different malach of tzad. That will be Bez Hashem. We'll have to discuss those more at length. In a cup, the case, so then maybe that's also not trapping. You just pick it up in a bowl, right? A bee happens to go into the bowl, so then you'll be allowed, right? Like we discussed last week, as far as a moth landed on my hat. So besides that, I was using Tiltum and Atzad, but the moth was disgusting to me. I didn't want it on my hat. So I'm allowed to move it away. That's a graph, Shara'e. Sorry? Can you blow it? Blowing was also Tiltum Begufa. We said blow is Tiltum Begufa, that's allowed. Even something that's not disgusting is allowed.
And like the hat or bowls to bring it outside, like you're not really trapping it.
Yeah, so then that's allowed. That's exactly, yeah, you're allowed to do that. It's a graph Shara'e, and you're allowed to get rid of it. Then anyways, if it's in a hat or a bowl, it's Tiltum and Atzad. You're talking with your hands, but you're not touching it directly with your hands. And Tiltum and Atzad is mutter. You know, it's for my purpose. It's not for the purpose of the animal, even though I want it outside. But that's considered for, you know, for a non-muksa item. Hold on one second. Joe, hold on one second. We're going to have to just finish this. As far as garbage cans, we were discussing garbage cans last week. Garbage cans are a tremendous halacha. Now, it's probably better, because I was planning on doing it in a different order, when we discussed halachos of buses. Buses, we were talking about items in drawers, and muksa items in pockets, and muksa items on a dish. We're going to have to get to that Bez Hashem next week. I'm not going to be able to do justice to that today, so instead of rushing through buses, I'd rather do it fully Bez Hashem next week, and we'll discuss garbage cans next week. Garbage cans are going to have muksa items in a garbage can. So we have to discuss what's halacha with garbage cans. If there's muksa items and non-muksa items in a garbage can, you have muksa items and non-muksa items in a drawer or in a pocket. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to that next week. We have 5 minutes left. Maybe I'll just say a few things about Purim, if that's okay.
Please.
Fine. Not halacha, but just something nice about Purim. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Megillah says that wants to ask a question. Why is it that we don't say Hallel on Purim? Why don't we read Hallel on Purim and Davening? We know we read Hallel on Yom Tov, and we have a minute to read Hallel on Rosh Chodesh as well, and we read Hallel on Chanukah. Chanukah is a Yom Tov Midrabanan. Chanukah happened approximately 250 years after Purim. So we say Hallel on Chanukah. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives a number of answers. One of the answers is, that the answer that the Rambam goes with, is the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhi Hilula, that the reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. Now we don't have to say Hallel separately. When we read the Megillah Esther, excuse me, that is the Hallel. So, since that's the case, let's say you're in a town, in a shtetl, don't think this could never have happened. I'm sure this happened a number of times in different little towns in Europe, by little villages, that they didn't have a Megillah. They don't have a Kosher Megillah. So the question is, in the Rishayim, should a person read Hallel? Should the town read Hallel in a place where there's no Megillah. So the Meiri, who's one of the great Rishonim, says yes. And it seems to make a lot of sense. If the whole reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because we have the laning of the Megillah, so in a case where you don't have a kosher laning of the Megillah, so the Meiri says the town should say Hallel. However, the Rambam and others say no. That even if you don't have a Megillah, but you still do not say Hallel. And the question is why? Why is that the case? If the whole reason why we don't have Hallel is because we have the laning of the Megillah, if you don't have a kosher laning of the Megillah, why don't we say Hallel? So my Rebbe, Rabbi Ariely, I heard a shiur from him once, and he said the following answer. He said, what's the miracle of Purim? What are we celebrating? What are we recognizing on Purim? If you look at the Megillah, Hashem's name is not in the Megillah ever. It's alluded to by HaMelech, but Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. Why? Because Hashem, there was no nes nigla, there was no open miracle in the Megillah. There was no oil that burned for 8 days, there was no splitting of the Yam Suf, there was no Har Sinai that there was a number of miracles, there was no Anane HaKavod that we have Sukkos for, there was no open miracles. Vashti was killed, Bigson and Seresh were caught by Mordechai, Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep, and Esther was appointed queen, Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep. There was nothing Keneged Teva, there was nothing against the laws of nature. Everything was hidden. That's why Hashem's name is not there. It's called Megillas Esther. Esther means hidden. Anachi Astir Astir. Esther is from the Lashon of hidden. Everything is hidden on Purim. The fact that Hashem saved us, and a person could go right over their heads. They'll think, okay, it was just coincidence. That's the normal way of events. That's what we're thanking Hashem for. That's what we're praising Hashem for on Purim. The hidden miracles. The fact that day in and day out, Hashem does things for us. Not open miracles, but things that we don't even necessarily realize. A person could be blind to it, that we don't realize the things that Hashem does for us, even if it's not Keneged Hateva. That's the whole idea of Amalek. Amalek, Haman came from Amalek. Amalek is everything is mikra. Asher karcha baderech, everything is mikra. It's coincidence. It just happened to happen. Nothing's from Hashem. But the miracle of Purim was to show not like that. That this is that Hashem takes care of everything and even things we don't realize necessarily. It's not open miracles. Hashem is behind the scenes. The Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, all Yomim Tovim are going to be bottle except for Purim. There's going to be no more Pesach, no more Sukkos, no more Shavuos, which is hard to believe. There's different explanations what that means exactly. But what's Pshat? Why all the Yom Tovim are gone and Purim still remains? So the Maral explains that when we get to the Yom Tov, when we get to the miracles that will be in the times of Mashiach, Meher B'Yameinu, so the miracle of the Yam Suf, it's going to be child's play. It's nothing. Yam Suf, Anani HaKavod, big deal. Look at all the miracles that happen when Mashiach's going to come. So we don't need to have those Yamim Tevim anymore. To praise Hashem for the open miracles, we don't need those Yamim Tevim anymore. Only Purim is a totally different type of miracle. So it's apples and oranges. Even once Mashiach comes and we have plenty of open miracles to praise Hashem with, we still have to have Purim. The hidden miracles, that we still have to have. And the month of Adar, the mazel of the month of Adar, anyone know what that is? The fish, the dug. The dug is hidden from the eye. It's underneath the water. It's not seen. You can't see it. That's why there's no ayin hara for fish, as we all know. So everything is hidden. The month of Adar and the whole miracle of Purim, everything is all hidden. I know in Eretz Yisrael, when cell phones were first coming popular, so my wife and I got cell phones, and it came free with the cell phone, is that you got news updates once a day. So fine, it was free. We took it. We were able to get it in English. And fine, 2 o'clock every day, I got like a news update. Most of them, I'm not into the elections in Eretz Yisrael and these things, so most of them didn't make a difference to me. But it was amazing. Like a few times every week, almost like 2 or 3 or 4 times a week, there was a news update how the soldiers caught a terrorist a suicide bomber who was going to blow himself up, but they caught him before. People would never have known about that. I would never have known about it if not for the fact that I got that text message. Things that you never would have realized that Hashem takes care of us that we don't even see it. And people go through certain tzaras in life. Everybody has their idea of their peckle of tzaras. And it says, you know, why is Hashem doing this to me? Hashem, it could have been so much worse. And Hashem takes care of us. You don't even realize how many other things Hashem saved us from. And that's what Purim is thanking us for. I one time went to Rabbi Gamaliel Rabinovich. Anyone heard of Rabbi Gamaliel Rabinovich? I'm sure you've heard of him. But so he's a big mekubel in Eretz Yisrael. I could tell you stories afterwards. Amazing. He's the real deal, a real mekubel. So my wife and I one time went to him for a bracha for something specific, and he told me to learn a halacha every day. He's very into halacha, to do one halacha every day. to be makbid about that, and then it'll be mekuyim. So I did that for a number of years, and I told somebody once about it, and someone said to me, "So was it mekuyim? You know, if you do the halacha every day, was it mekuyim?" So I told him it was a bracha, but the type of thing that could always be better and always be worse. So I said, "For all, it could be that it's mekuyim because we never know what these things could be. That it could always be better, could always be worse. There's so many things in life that could be always be better and could always be worse. And we complain, oh, it's so terrible, but it could always be worse. And Hashem takes care of us, and that's what Purim is praising Hashem about. That the things that we don't even realize, the hidden miracles, that the Goyim know more than us as far as what they're planning to do. Iran, whoever it is, the Goyim know much more. We are praising Hashem for those miracles. So that's pshat in the Rambam. That if we don't have a Megillah, Kriyasa Zuhi Ilula, the Kriya is the hallow, the laning of the Megillah itself, all the hidden miracles that we see in the Megillah, that is the hallow. So if a person is in a town where there's no Megillah, it doesn't help to lane hallow. What is hallow all about? But Seisi Soami Mitzrayim, all the open miracles of the Yamsuf, it's apples and oranges. It's not going to help to lane to read the hallow. So that's why says the Rambam that if you don't have a Megillah, then it doesn't help to lane hallow because that's a totally different type of praise. So as we approach Purim, we have our minds on many other things, Shalach Manos and the Purim Suda, and already thinking about careful with all the chametz in the house. But it's something to keep in mind, to thank Hashem for all the things that we don't even know what to thank Hashem for.